Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel. On the broadcast today, Doug Cannon joins us. He's the president and CEO of NV Energy. Here for the whole show on all new Nevada Newsmakers.
Welcome to the Winnemucca Big R.
Hi, I'm John Walker. Welcome to Big R Lovelock.
Hi, I'm Rich Martin. Welcome to Fallon Big R.
My name is Braden. Welcome to Big R Fernley.
Hi, I'm Kelly. Welcome to Big R Sparks.
Hit the open road with a truckload of cash free play in one of three luxury travel trailers during the $250,000 travel time giveaways. Thousands in weekly giveaways plus $7,500 in grand prizes guaranteed. And a new travel trailer or $35,000. Now at the Carson Valley Inn.
For 50 years, Nevada Heating has been keeping people comfortable in their homes. At Nevada Heating, call the Do It Right guys and get the air conditioning back on today. That's the Nevada Heating way. Why sweat for days on end when Nevada Heating can get your air conditioning fixed today? Call us today and we'll fix it today at 323-5585 or schedule us on our website at nevadaheating.com.
Save money and take transit. Did you know you can ride the bus all day for less than what it would cost you for a gallon of gas? Plan your trip now by going to rtcwashoe.com.
Is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are pleased to welcome back to the program Doug Cannon. He is the president and CEO of NV Energy. Welcome, sir.
Sam, it's always a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. One of the things that I was excited to read in the notes from your staff was that rates are going down. Explain to us why and when.
Yeah, so it's something that we're excited about as well. We recognize over the last couple of years, rates have gone up, tied to natural gas prices. Those natural gas prices have come back down, and we've been able to kind of collect what that those back fees were. And so going forward, we see our rates going down somewhere between 10 and 15% for our customers. And what happens is those rates reset every quarter as we continue to enjoy those lower natural gas prices. So we expect customers to be seeing that 10 or 15% by the end of the year. And that's true even with some filings that we've made up at Sierra Pacific for our Northern Nevada customers, where we are asking to recover certain costs, and that would increase some rates up there in the north. But all in, the bottom of the bill, which is the number we're all worried about, right? It's that bottom of the bill number.
Sure.
That number is going to be down 10 to 15% by the end of the year. So we're excited.
Okay, so how does that play into the fact that we are exporting so much natural gas?
Yeah, and so what we can do is we have a strategy for buying natural gas ahead.
Okay.
And we've got suppliers that we regularly work with that we can subscribe to natural gas output and ensure that it's coming to Nevada on various pipelines. And so we lock up the pipeline capacity as well as the natural gas capacity. And so we're really not competing directly with where a lot of those exports are going.
Let's change topics to data centers.
Sure.
Because there's another huge company moving into Northern Nevada. I understand that you're going to have to do work at Tracy Power Plant to be able to accommodate this. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, there is a lot of growth going on in Northern Nevada right now, and it's not one particular company. We have a number of companies that are interested in Nevada, and Nevada is a great business environment. We have good location adjacent to California, but we don't have the taxes. We have much, much cheaper power. If we look at our neighbors over in California, they could be paying anywhere from 30 to 40 cents a unit of energy, where our customers are paying 10 cents for that same unit of energy. So our customers have much lower energy costs. So you start to put our favorable business environment, favorable tax environment, and favorable electric environment together, that makes a really great combination for attracting this big data center load. Right now in Northern Nevada, our total load is about 2,000 megawatts on a given day. We have contracts signed with data centers wanting to come to our state that would increase that to 4,000 megawatts.
Wow.
It took us 125 years to get to 2,000 megawatts. We're going to grow to 4,000, and they want to do it in about 8 years. So tremendous amount of investment, tremendous amount of growth. And so right now we're very focused on working with our regulators to ensure that we can build the infrastructure, but we're also very focused on ensuring that when a data center tells us that they're wanting all that electricity, that they're really going to use it, because what we want to avoid is ensuring that any of those costs get shifted to our other customers. We're very focused on that.
Okay, but talk specifically about Tracy, because you're going to have to expand that, correct?
So we actually wouldn't expand Tracy Power Plant. What we're looking at doing is expanding solar plants. So we're building the Sierra Solar Project. That's a 400 megawatt solar project, and it will also have a 400 megawatt battery with it. We have other sites in Northern Nevada that we could develop. We're also building our Greenlink transmission line.
Right.
That'll open up the ability to develop some property that we have in the Armagosa Valley. Very good solar potential on that property. We acquired that from the Bureau of Land Management. And so with Greenlink in place and other properties that we have, we'll be developing a lot of renewable. We are repowering our Valmy power plant. That was a coal-fired power plant.
Right, the last one, right?
That's right, last one. We're gonna convert that to natural gas. Reduces carbon emissions by 50%. And we'll keep that plant operating where that was going to be retired. And we will likely add some natural gas generation at that site over time so that we can continue to meet the needs of our customers. Now, we would use that natural gas generation just to meet kind of the peak load of these customers, really the backbone of our infrastructure while the sun's shining. Will be that solar generation and the batteries that accompany it.
Okay, and that's something I wanted to talk to you about, which is these giant batteries. The New York Times just had an article on this recently. Where are we with this technology, and how much storage can we provide? And are we gonna be seeing battery storage the same way that we see solar farms? Are they gonna be huge fields full of batteries? Is that how this is gonna work?
Sure, so actually what we do is we just incorporate the batteries into the solar project. So it ends up being the same footprint. And you can actually spread the batteries out throughout a solar project, so you don't really increase significantly the acreage that would otherwise be involved in that project. We just recently commissioned a 200 plus megawatt battery at our old Reed Gardner site. So that was also a former coal plant.
Right.
We retired that coal plant, demolished it, and now it's a battery site. And what a remarkable story that is, right? That you really see the transition. It really highlights the energy transition that we're going through here in Nevada right now, where we've moved on from coal and the carbon emissions associated with coal, and now we have a battery sitting on that same site, but it's capturing solar production during the day and gets recharged during the day, and then at night or during peak times, we can discharge that battery so we can ensure we use that solar energy at the most efficient times for our customers.
Okay, so, you know, over the next few years, I mean, how much of that battery technology is going to be able to take over from fossil fuels, I'm including natural gas into that. Is this the answer that we've been looking for in terms of storage of, you know, because always, you know, the sun doesn't always shine, the wind doesn't always blow. Is this the answer?
Yeah, I don't think it's the answer by itself. It is an important component of the answer. And why I say that, right? The solar production comes on at about 9 o'clock in the morning, for example. That solar production is really starting to ramp off by 5-6 o'clock at night. Our peak loads from our customers don't really drop off until about 9 o'clock at night. So we've got this gap between, let's just say 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. that we're always trying to manage, where we still have pretty high loads on the system, but the solar energy isn't there. So what we've done to address that, instead of having to turn on a bunch of new fuel, burn natural gas, and, right. and turn on our natural gas fleet, we can use batteries to help meet that need. And so for that 4 hours, we can discharge a four-hour battery and use solar energy, reduce the carbon emissions, reduce costs for our customers, and it's a great model. Now, what we found, though, is if we go really beyond the four-hour battery, it gets too expensive. Those batteries get really, really expensive beyond kind of that four-hour window. So you will see us continue to develop solar projects. We will put batteries with them, generally a four-hour battery, and then we will continue to have some clean-burning natural gas that will help us get through the nighttime hours as technology continues to develop. And I fully expect that different technologies will continue to develop over the coming years, and whether that's longer-term storage or whether that's hydrogen or other generation technologies that could come about over the next few years will really help us then fully solve that equation. But the equation on how to completely decarbonize the energy grid, we don't have that equation fully solved yet.
Okay, and talking about hydrogen, there's a lot of people excited about hydrogen for powering cars, trucks, etc.
Sure.
But there's really only one manufacturer in California, and California is the only place you can buy hydrogen. Do you see that moving across the country, or is it really going to be solar and batteries the way we have them now?
I think hydrogen has a lot of potential, and a lot of research and development money is going into hydrogen right now. The Department of Energy is very interested. They have this hydrogen hub concept, and they've set up some hydrogen hubs around the country to see if it can really be viable. You're right, today in Nevada, that's not really a viable option for us at the scale that we would need to produce electricity. And so what we're doing is we're buying generation units as we put new generation units on that burn natural gas today, but they are all capable of burning hydrogen as well.
Really?
So we are looking forward to the future and ensuring that when we make investments today, we're thinking about our customers tomorrow as well. So those units could burn hydrogen. And so when the pipelines are here and when hydrogen production can be done in a cost-effective way for our customers, then absolutely it's something that we want to look at. It's not there today yet. And I certainly hope the research and development dollars that are going into it will help make it a viable option for customers sometime in the future.
Let me ask you about the battery storage. What's the lifespan? Do we know what the lifespan is of these batteries at this point? Because I know, for example, with electric cars, that they're saying that it's probably, they're warranted to 8 years.
Sure.
But they're very expensive to replace. And that's going to be a concern that nobody has really dealt with yet in
right.
the resale market. What's the situation with these battery storage that you're using?
Yeah. So we're actually getting warranties up to 15 years. So
okay. wow.
substantially longer than what the cars are seeing. Now, what we have to do is there may be some supplementing that has to occur over that 15-year span. Individual cells may fail, but the diagnostics on these batteries now are so good that you can figure out when kind of individual cells fail. You can go in, replace that cell, and so you can really get a lot of life out of these batteries and make sure you're being very efficient with the operations. And then at the end of the 15 years, we can assess. Where's it at? Does it still have life in it? We'll continue to operate it. If it doesn't have life in it, then we'll assess what technologies are available at that time and whether we replace it with a lithium ion battery that's exists today or whether that new technology really makes sense for our customers.
You know, it's really an amazing time to live because the technology is moving so quickly.
It is.
And I appreciate the fact that you're looking at, you know, adaptability for these various methods of delivering energy because it's just moving so fast. It's hard for anybody to keep up. But for you, it's a big expense if you've got to replace something. So
yeah, we want to make cost-effective decisions today, but you're absolutely right. You hit on it, Sam, is we want to make sure we're maintaining flexibility for the future as well because we fully expect technology to deliver better solutions over time. And we want to make sure we haven't locked our customers into a more expensive energy model. Let's make sure we have that flexibility as we know that technology will deliver incredible opportunities in the future.
As you look at what China's doing and China's ability to be able to produce things more quickly because of the population base that they have, are they doing things at this point with electricity and electricity storage that we're looking at and going, that's something that we should be looking for? Because they're certainly doing that with electric cars, where they're producing them more cheaply. They're also trying to flood our market, which is why we're imposing tariffs. But are you seeing things coming from Asia that are of interest to you at this point?
Yeah, we certainly try to stay abreast of what's going on in Asia. I would think things that we are looking at, certainly there's a lot of battery manufacturing over there, solar panel manufacturing. But I would say their economy is largely still based on carbon-based fuels. And in fact, they're still building a lot of coal-fired power plants. We've made public policy decisions that we think that is harmful to public health, and we're going a different direction as a country on our energy supply. Now, that's a public policy debate. As we are focused on, we really do want to implement an energy supply that is consistent with public policy. So we very much try to follow the public policy movements of the country and of our customers. So we're very focused on that. But I would say we are absolutely watching the technology advances that are occurring in China. I would say this, though, we are also very focused on being supportive of having more domestic manufacturing. I think it is important that we get more domestic manufacturing for batteries, that we get more domestic manufacturing for solar panels. We have remarkable scientists here in the US that can really advance energy and energy storage, and we want to make sure that not only do we have the R&D happening in this country, but that we then have the ability to manufacture it in this country in the event there is any form of global unrest. We can, you know, we see supply chain disruptions, and they can significantly disrupt our ability to get supply in a very short amount of time. And so if there is future further global unrest or political instability, it's going to be really important that we have that domestic manufacturing here in the U.S. So that's something that we absolutely like to support.
And it's great that the Taiwanese are now coming to the United States to build factories so that we can get the chips that we need and not have to be concerned about what's happening over there.
That's just smart supply chain actions to take.
To say the least. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back more with Doug Cannon from MV Energy after this timeout.
Story County is leading Nevada. Home of the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, Google, Tesla, Panasonic, and other world-leading companies. Story County provides thousands of tech, advanced manufacturing, and logistics careers for Nevadans. We're diversifying and driving Nevada's economy and generating millions in tax revenue and billions in economic activity across northern Nevada. Story County is leading Nevada's future.
Retail's impact on Nevada's economy? Enormous. 8,600 businesses, large and small, employing 145,000 workers. And last fiscal year, retail paid tax on nearly $60 billion in sales. We're the Retail Association of Nevada. We support retail. We help it grow. And we mean business.
RANNV.org.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Truck drivers are some of the hardest working people you'll meet, delivering over 70% of America's freight and 92% of Nevada's. When there's a natural disaster, they're delivering critical supplies to help those communities recover and rebuild. Every sector of the economy and our nation's military rely on truck drivers. So let's take a moment to say thank you. On the open road or city streets, our truck drivers are rolling to make our economy and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Doug Cannon. He is the president and CEO of NV Energy. AI. Everybody's talking about it. It's a very exciting topic. There's some good, there's some bad. But the number one thing is it requires a lot of electricity. Yes. explain to us how this works as it pertains to Nevada.
Yeah, so again, you know, going back to the conversation we had a little bit earlier, is we are seeing tremendous load growth in northern Nevada. And I gave you some of the numbers on that load growth that we're seeing. And so this is absolutely an incredible opportunity for Nevada. There's a lot of other states in the West that are saying, we can't take this, those size of electric loads. And yet the message we're getting from Nevada is we want to be open for business. And so if Nevada wants to be open for this type of business, we want to support that. We feel like that's part of our responsibility as the energy provider in the state. So we are working closely with the Public Utilities Commission, closely with the Bureau of Land Management. So both our regulator, land agencies, to say, here's the infrastructure we're going to have to build in order to serve that level of load in the next decade. And it's big. I mean, we're going to double or triple the size of the electric grid, in particular in northern Nevada, over the next decade if we want to meet the demand that's knocking on our door right now.
Okay, so does Project GreenLink handle that?
Project GreenLink is an absolutely critical backbone component to that, to being able to meet those loads. We cannot meet those loads without the GreenLink transmission project being constructed.
But is that enough?
It's not enough. What would then happen is there's additional transmission infrastructure that would have to be built off of that backbone to in fact support the level of load that AI is potentially bringing in. AI unlocks all sorts of incredible opportunities for us, and the computing power that it can bring and the efficiencies that it can bring to bear are remarkable. And so certainly we want to help facilitate that in the U.S. This year. Tools that we want to make sure we have in the U.S. We don't want to see these tools goes offshore. We want to make sure we have these tools. It's just like manufacturing, right? We want to make sure these tools are here so that they can't be disrupted. And so it is critical that we come together. I say we as the power utility, regulators, politicians, and government officials all come together to figure out how do we do this while protecting existing customers, but ensuring that Nevada is really open for business. And those conversations are occurring.
There's a lot of discussion in the media about the grid, and obviously it's not one grid for the whole country, it's multiple grids, but do you have concerns beyond what we're doing here in Nevada? You still have a need, correct, to import and export electricity. How comfortable are you with where the grid is at this point?
Yeah, the grid is getting better. I still absolutely have concerns, and we in Nevada still do have to import during certain critical hours. We don't want to be in that position. And so we are continuing to build additional generation, additional transmission in Nevada to make sure we're not relying on third parties, right? We in Nevada want to make sure we can take care of ourselves. We've seen California take a number of steps to build additional generation and energy resources in their state. I view that as a positive. We'll have over 1,000 megawatts of new generation come on for this summer. That's very good.
Right.
So we're seeing other states they are caught on to the issue, and other states are trying to build. So I'm optimistic about the future, but how states actually execute on that and actually get it built, yeah, they're still trying to work through that. And so there are absolutely still some concerns there, because we don't have an organized market in the West like exists in the Northeast or in the Midwest. A lot of those places have these organized markets, and that organized market facilitates all of that coordination and coordinates all the activities of those utilities. We don't have that. So for us, there's a lot of conversations happening, and I'm on the phone regularly with CEOs in other states to make sure we are trying to make decisions that are ultimately going to help the West as a whole.
All right, let's take another break. More with Doug Cannon when we come back.
What do you count on? You count on your power every day. At NV Energy, we've always powered what's important to you, but we're not looking at the past. We're focused on the future. While our standards are high, our rates will remain low. And our commitment to renewables isn't just meeting standards, but leading the way. Because you can count on more than just your power. You can count on the company who brings it to you. That's our promise. You can count on it.
As you know, Reno is booming. Toll's development company is helping it grow with insightful design and development. Building community with every project, adding beauty, adding excitement, emphasizing our shared humanity. Reno is becoming bigger. Toll's development is helping it become better, more livable, more enjoyable. To learn more, Go to tollsdevelopment.com. tollsdevelopment.com.
The Nevada Builders Alliance has been protecting the interests of the construction industry for over 50 years. Our programs save members thousands of dollars every year and allow them to provide much-needed benefits to their employees. Our industry also allows Nevada to grow. If you're thinking about a career in the construction industry, reach out. And if you haven't thought of a career in construction, what are you waiting for? We are the Nevada Builders Alliance.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Doug Cannon. He's the president and CEO of NV Energy. A long question, but a quick answer.
Sure.
Building power lines through advanced reconductoring, doubling the capacity of the grid. So basically utilizing the power system you have in place, but putting in new lines to be able to double the power. Is that in any way helpful for Nevada?
Absolutely. You can nearly double, or in some cases more than double, the capacity that goes through those lines. So we can use existing right-of-ways, we can use existing poles, but you put a new conductor, a new wire on there, and double what our customers can get out of that line. Absolutely. It's a fantastic development that we're seeing in the industry and something we're using. We've done more than 20 of our transmission lines through reconductoring projects, and our customers are benefiting from it today.
I thank you so much for doing this. I know you're a busy man, and good. I appreciate you taking the time to be here. You're always welcome.
Always a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, and we'll be right back.
Imagine a magical garden that feeds Carson City's hungry and homeless, teaches our high school students agriculture, creates hanging floral displays to beautify downtown, and yet charges nothing. It's not magic. It's the Greenhouse Project. It's real. It's growing, and it needs your help. Go online to carsoncitygreenhouse.org so together we can grow it forward.
Southwest Specialties has been making the homes and businesses of Nevada beautiful for more than 20 years. Their experienced designers and craftsmen create the walkways, backyards, water features, and a variety of outdoor cooking areas that add curb appeal and value to your investment. Call today or visit them at their website and see how they can make your outdoor spaces special. Southwest Specialties, creative, distinctive, beautiful.
Boutique Ahern Hotel and Event Center sits at the heart of the Las Vegas Strip. Two floors of meeting and event space are ideal for groups and conventions. Stay in one of 200 luxurious rooms and suites. Brand your event throughout the property. Flexible event spaces make for easy planning and personalization. Take over the entire hotel with a full buyout option.
Thanks for watching Nevada Newsmakers, coming to you from the Ahern Hotel in Las Vegas. As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show wherever you get your podcasts. We'll see you on the next broadcast. Thanks for watching. We'll see you.